Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. We're recording live from the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians annual meeting in Portland, Oregon, and we're fortunate enough to have grabbed from the floor Dr. Maurice Warness. Dr. Maurice is well known in the naturopathic community. He's the author of four books. He's an expert in really kind of that natural, holistic approach to patient care. He's a graduate of Bastyr University, and he's a practicing practitioner in North Carolina in Durham. He has his own radio show or frequently interviews people, so I guess we're up to a little bit of a challenge here today. We'll see at least how well he does as an interviewee. But anyway, we'll have some fun today. So, Maurice, thanks very much for joining us and taking the time to sit with us.
John, it's a pleasure. Right. You know, anything we could do to get the message of the power of the body to self-correct if you give it the right stuff, right. You know, that's what I do.
One of the important contributions that you're currently making to the naturopathic community is really as a board member for the Institute of Natural Medicine. It's really an important foundation that is helping to be an advocate of identifying new opportunities to expand the reach and the influence of naturopathic care.
Right.
But so let's talk a little bit about that and go back first to what drew you into the profession itself, and how did you end up going to Bastyr and becoming a naturopathic physician?
Well, that's a good question, but how much time do you got?
Well, give us the 30-second version of it.
All right, the 30-second version is I was a professional athlete before I got into medicine.
What sport?
I was a tennis player.
Huh, yeah.
But I was raised as the average American. I didn't know anything about health. I thought food was fast food. So that was my lifestyle. I worked really hard at it. You know, so I was asking my body to perform like a Ferrari, but I was putting diesel fuel in the tank.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, fuel that the body wasn't able to make use of to perform the way I wanted it to. And eventually when I was... I traveled the world. I played tennis all around the world. And eventually, when I was, 27 years old, my body broke down. Mm. By that time, my mom had remarried. And, of course, she married the Wizard of Oz, which was, a medical doctor in a white coat. And I knew those guys had magic pills that, you know, could help everybody. And I landed in New York City. I was had double earaches, couldn't get out of bed. Went to see all these doctors, took their antibiotics, their steroids, their painkillers. I got sicker and sicker and sicker. Right. I finally went to a doctor that does what I do. He was a naturopathic doctor. And he said to me, he said, Maurice, if you'll eat more fruits and vegetables and learn how to manage your stress, you might get better. Hmm. Well, I was thinking in my head, being that my background was the way it is, you know, hey, I'm real sick here. You're telling me that. And, right. You know, but I didn't have a choice, and I did what he asked me to do. I got a job at East West Books in Manhattan. I learned how to meditate, and I was horrible at that. But I did start eating more fruits and vegetables. In about 2 months, I was completely well.
Yeah, awesome.
And I had chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, yeah. In a serious way. I always wanted to go to medical school, so I decided that was a message from above that this is the kind of medicine that I'm supposed to practice.
So that's when you ended up at Bastyr then?
And then I went to Bastyr sight unseen, and I had no idea what I was getting into, but I knew I had been gifted with this, with my health again through naturopathic medicine.
Right. So naturopathic medicine, as you know, is a really powerful approach to health and wellness,
right.
Approach to practice. And, combines the important components of really holistic care, the combination of mindfulness, spiritualness,
right.
With you know, physical attributes and a toolkit that's probably second to none,
right.
In the world of healthcare. So tell us about how you use the combined approaches. I know that you do a lot and even instruct on things like Tai Chi.
Right.
But how do you achieve success between the combination of holistic, vitalism?
Good question. Everything that we are exposed to, our bodies, our minds, what we see, what we touch, what we think, it all has a biochemical effect on our being. So whether it's exercising our body, that creates biochemical reactions in the body that are very important, or the food that we eat, or the thoughts that we think. So my job is to give people back the power over the most precious gift in their life, which is their birthright of health.
Right.
And vitality, because without that, we can't go for our dreams.
Right.
Without that, we can't be the magnificent beings that we came here to be, that the earth is calling for us to be.
Right.
So I'm doing my best to educate my patients as quickly as I can that they have the power. I'm not the boss. They're the boss.
Right.
I'm the coach. They're the player.
Right.
You know, I'm the cheerleader. They play the game.
Right.
So I use whatever my patient is open to help them turn the light on inside so that they can manifest their own magnificence.
Right.
And I do that as fast as possible.
Yeah. So that's really impressive. So, you know, more and more, you know, we can see across America not only such a high increase in the incidence and prevalence of chronic disease states, but also consumers who want to own their health finally. How are you finding it? Is an easy challenge, a difficult challenge to have that first discussion with them? Or are they so motivated by the time they've come to see you that they're ready to do anything and to listen to that important message you give them?
John, the unfortunate case in our world today, especially here in the West, is that everywhere you turn, there are sick people. Yeah. People are tired of being sick and tired.
Right.
So by the time they get to me, and my practice was right across from Duke Medical Center,
right.
Okay? You know, I see all the refugees from Duke Medical Center. We're not going to talk about what they do over there.
Right.
But they come to see me because they're sick and tired of not getting well. They don't want to be on any more medications that are just treating them symptomatically,
right,
where the symptoms might improve, but they feel worse and worse.
Right.
So when they come to me, I ask them, you know, they tell me their story. They spend, you know, they'll probably spend an hour with me on the first visit. They'll tell me why they're sick. They tell me what they've tried. And I'll say, I ask them a very important question. I say, what are you willing to do to get better?
Yeah.
And typically they'll answer anything.
Right.
And I say to them, that's the only correct answer.
Mm.
And I put them on a very simple program, but it's very profound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way I work, John, I want my clients to have a profound result within the first week.
Yeah, wow.
They need to have a profound result within the first week because my runway with them is very short.
Right.
As a naturopathic doctor, where I know my patient is going to be exposed to a lot of advertisement about this magic pill or that magic pill, or the first part of the advertisement going to show everybody real happy, and the second part somebody's talking real slow about how that medication is going to kill them.
Right.
This is what they're getting from the media.
Right.
No one's getting the message, John. Do you know your body will self-correct if you give it the right stuff? That's the most powerful force in the universe.
Right.
But people aren't getting that message. So they have to be able to experience, not just believe me, but
right,
to experience in their own body, in their own markers, whether it's their blood pressure, their blood sugar, their weight, or what have you, within a short period of time, wow, this works. And when that light comes on, they're home free.
Right.
Now they're self-motivated. They're going to continue to do the things that they need to do.
Right. So how do you typically do that? How do you get that fast of a result that's so motivating for them to stay?
Well,
with the program?
I've been doing it 27 years, okay? So I've had time to try, you know, all the things they taught me in medical school and see what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
And what I've come to, John, is that the simpler the program, the more straightforward the program, the easier it is for people to do,
sure,
number one. Number two is the program needs to be comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't walk people through a six-week program of eliminating. First, we're going to eliminate sugars, and then we're going to... No.
Right.
I told you, I need 3 days.
Yeah.
I got 3 days. I got to have results. So it's a simple program. Okay, I keep it simple for them. Anybody can do it. Okay, it's not expensive. Number one. Number two is I have all of my patients contact me every day. Every single one of my patients texts me every day.
That's awesome.
they take pictures of their results. You know, they're all taking their weight and their, because I treat a lot of obesity, diabetes, high blood pressure, all kinds of things that people get tested home. Right. Every day they're taking their numbers. So they're accountable to me, and I'm able to encourage them. They're able to ask me questions. John, just like you and I are sitting here, I couldn't give this interview if you weren't there. I couldn't give this interview if there aren't thousands of people out there listening, right? Right. We need one another to change, okay? Nobody does this by themselves. I have to hold their hand in order to walk this walk with them. Right. And that's what I do. Yeah. So I have a method that I'm in touch with them every day. Anything comes up, I'm there for them.
So you're the classic example in my mind of people don't know how much you know until they know how much you care. I mean, you're engaged with them, and that's a big part of healthcare, isn't it?
You know, John, you couldn't have said it any better, but look, when you've fallen down as many times as I have, and you've had some angel there sitting there reaching down to grab you, I get that. Yeah. I know what pain looks like. I know what suffering looks like. I have a son from Ethiopia, for example. I just took him back 2 weeks ago to Ethiopia to meet his birth family.
Cool.
You know, I've seen people that have nothing.
Awesome, yeah.
You know, so what else are we doing on the planet if we're not reaching out and saying, hey, come on, we can do better than this.
Right.
What my payment is when they say, you know, you're a blessing to me, Doc.
Right.
You don't know what that means. And I mean, I have a phone full of messages where, you know, but it's not me. You know, it's not me. It's the way the body was designed. And again, if you give it the right stuff, John, people say, well, Doc, where you learn all this? I tell them all the time. I also have a farm, okay? Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, John, I learn more about medicine and health from farming than I ever learned from medical school.
Right, yeah.
And they say, well, how's that? Well, look, if I'm going to grow apples, oranges, or potatoes, I do the same thing with the soil. If I take really good care of the soil, I can grow anything.
Right.
And so I have a permaculture farm, you know, which is where you take really good care of the soil. And I do that for individuals, too. If I can create health in the body, in their tissues,
right,
disease goes away.
Right.
So it's the way the body was designed.
Right. Yeah, that's powerful. You know, there's a lot of important information finally out, right, that's becoming more popular for people to learn about, or things that you just talked about, how important the health of the soil is. You know, I know our own experience, we care as much about the microbiome of our organic farm soil that we do the microbiome of the patients that we serve.
It's all the same.
So it's really a connectivity of the world that's important,
that includes
this holistic approach. So
your
kind of definition, if you will, of what holistic care is, I can't imagine it being better described than you just did a minute or two ago. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So you're the author of 4 books, and they all have a common theme of kind of a natural remedy, a natural approach.
Right.
You have at least one book that really focuses on this big problem we have now in society of kind of pain.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about that approach, and you know, with the opioid epidemic and natural and naturopathic care, it can be so powerful as not only an alternative but should be a primary course of care.
Well, John, you know where I live in Durham. You know, my first practice in North Carolina was in Fayetteville.
Uh-huh.
So I saw a lot of soldiers, right? Unfortunately, soldiers are suffering from heavy-duty post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most painful things that you can go through. So I've treated that. I've learned how to treat that in a very profound way, using not just dietary stuff and herbal medicine, but also embodiment work.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that happens when you go into trauma is that you leave your body. You know, the consciousness leaves the body.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you can survive. It's a survival technique.
Right.
But what we've learned is that the only way you can be... That actually trauma is not just a memory in the brain. It's actually inside the body what's called cellular memory.
Yeah.
So it's in the body. So if you want to heal it, if you want the body to be able to integrate that trauma so it's no longer an energetic obstacle that gets triggered, you have to bring your awareness to it so that the body will begin to integrate the cellular memory. If you can bring your full awareness and a full acceptance of the feeling, the body will has the power to integrate it.
Right.
It's important to stay out of the memory. If you keep going back to the memory, you'd re-trigger the body and make it deeper. So it's very specific how we treat it, but that's how I do it. In other words, again, the goal is to give people back their own power in the process.
So you mentioned a couple times, and even some of the expertise that you had, even in developing, formulating products is pretty impressive. But you have this huge toolbox. But between using nutrition, whole food, botanicals, how do you approach kind of the decision-making that's involved in putting together a therapeutic program plan for your patients?
I try to keep it as simple as possible. Again, I treat the soil. If I can take really good care of the biochemical terrain, what does that mean? That means get the garbage out of it.
Right.
Typically, by the time a patient gets to see me, you know, we live in such a toxic world that their lymph has become stagnant, if you will, congested. And when the lymph gets congested, it pushes back up into the cells. And when that happens, it's like, you know, you come into my house, it's a decent house, but, you know, if the toilet's clogged up, you say, Doc, I don't know why you're painting the house. I say, John, it makes it look nice. I say, well, you got to undo that toilet because it's stinking up the place. So the body's the same way. If the lymph gets congested, then all that starts backing up into the tissue. So my first job, like I said, is to clean the soil just like you would and you had a farm. You got to clean the garbage out of it. And then once we do that, then we put really good supercharged nutrition, which comes from mostly plants and fruits and vegetables, really rich, nutrient-rich foods. And, you know, and once you give the body back the biochemical tools it needs, it starts functioning right.
Yeah, great. So you're involved with the Institute for Natural Medicine, really an important program.
Thank you.
It's also helping to develop future practitioners.
Right.
But tell us a little bit about what excites you about that organization today and some of the impact. I can only imagine how great it must be to be a resident or a new student or a brand new practitioner having a chance to sit and talk to you. Very, very aspirational and inspirational.
Thank you. Well, I actually was on the founding board of the Institute for Natural Medicine 28 years ago. Uh-huh. So I've been involved with the organization for a long time, and the reason I am, it's really the philanthropic arm of our profession that allows us to educate the public, educate and inform the public about the presence of naturopathic medicine and the power of naturopathic medicine and its tools, whether it be nutritional, herbal, homeopathy, etc., all kinds of holistic health to address the epidemic of chronic disease. And chronic diseases are basically killing 85% of us in this country. And there are some places in the world they're almost non-existent. And these are places I've studied called longevity hotspots, but that's another story. You know, I love being involved with the Institute for Natural Medicine. I can't think of anything more important than to get this message out, because when people reclaim their health, when they reclaim their power and their ability to create health for themselves, they can then go on to realize their dreams.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So you brought up a topic that I actually wanted to ask you about, too, were these health hotspots. And I think you referred to them as blue point spots.
I use, like, what I consider to be the accurate term, which is longevity hotspots.
Yeah. Even better. But tell us, and you develop some information, and I think maybe even a product that addresses what should be the components.
Well, the story around that was that a client, a patient of mine who I had helped, you know, he digged himself out of the grave pretty much. Huh. He was very sick when he got to me. He was wealthy and he traveled the world and so forth, and he came back and he said, Doc, you know, I just visited this place, they call it a longevity hotspot. He said, I was going there to build an old folks home, but I started to look around and all the old folks, there were no people in walkers, there was no obesity, there was none of that stuff, and I realized they didn't need an old folks home like we do over here. He said, I started poking around and found out it's a longevity hotspot.
Where's this?
This was in, right, but I mean, this is reality, right? This is this place he was talking about. That was in Nicoya, Costa Rica.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. We studied 9 different ones around the planet. That was the first one.
Are these? I'm sorry. Are these similar to the book that Dan Butner?
Blue Zones. They're similar. They're not the same. No. Yeah. Similar. Yeah. Right. Similar concept, although we found different things. Yeah. And I'll tell you what those are. So he told me something that really piqued my mind, and he said, you know, Doc, he said, chronic disease is almost non-existent in these places, and they've been researched, and I'll get into that in a minute. And he said, you know, they have a 300% better chance of reaching 100 than we do. Well, I'm not a very smart guy, but the light went off in my head, and I realized, I was like, oh, my God, is that on planet Earth? Because I realized 85% of us dying from these chronic diseases, and sure enough, it is, and the results are real, and I started digging into it. And as a matter of fact, I live right across from Duke University. As I said, they had done a project called the IKEA Project. The IKEA is a Sardinian word that means may you live well for 100 years. And Sardinia is also a longevity hotspot.
Yeah.
And so they had studied it, National Geographic, National Institutes of Health, all kinds of academic institutions have studied these longevity hotspots to try to figure out what it is that's making such a big difference. Well, we did a meta-analysis of that work. We visited some of these places. We really tried to dig down to find out what was making the biggest difference in their health compared to ours. Because, you know, light went off in my head. I said, look, if we can do what they're doing, we can get some good results over here.
Right.
I mean, 85% of us are dying from diseases that don't exist there. We got to do something about this. So, you know, after 2 or 3 years of study, we found out that there were 5 things that they did that made the biggest difference in their health compared to ours.
Yeah.
Number one, they ate mostly a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. None of them were vegetarians. They ate a plant-based diet and used meat as a condiment. Number two, they had a fermented food with almost every meal. Mm-hmm. So fermentation was a part of, and taking care of the microbiome was an important part of their dietary regime. Number three was that they moved their bodies. And they weren't sedentary, you know, great-great-grandmama chasing the little ones around, chasing the goats around, what have you. So they moved their bodies. The next one was they all took a siesta after lunch, pretty much. So they knew how to rest,
right,
you know, and relax. They weren't on this 24-hour news cycle. The other thing that they did is they lived in community. You know, none of these places where they were rich enough to die alone.
Right.
They realized they all need one another.
Yeah, awesome.
So
yeah,
they worked together. And the last thing was is they lived their life with purpose. Didn't matter. All of them had a spiritual connection to something greater than them. Didn't matter whether it was a church or whatever their religion was. Right. Wasn't the point, but they had a reason for being that was bigger than them.
Right.
And they didn't get locked off, you know, in a place all by themselves. They were still revered and contributed to their community.
Right. Right.
So I took that information and we designed a lifestyle education system based on those principles that we created, a video-based education system that would drip into people's email. About a 2-minute, beautiful, done videos every day. And by the end of 2 months, people had transformed their lives. And I designed a nutritional product based on their diets, which was a very unique product, a fermented superfood product that, you know, was able to, you know, access the principles of their diet.
Right, right. Awesome. Did it taste good?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it tasted like real food. So, you know, look, I make stuff to work, right? I didn't make it to... You know, I'm not serving cotton candy here.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
trying to get a result. Yeah, we got tremendous results. We had it in 45,000 different households around the planet. They still practice these principles,
yeah,
and
awesome.
You know.
You know, I listened to another podcast recently in the last couple of weeks by a guy named Peter Attia, and he has a pet project that he's really advocating called the Centenarian Olympics. And so what he wants to do is have some kind of an activity, sport competition for people who are 100.
Nice.
And so it's really, really an interesting concept. And his concept is how do you motivate people to want to live to 100? And so there are certain things that if you're 100, you want to have a high quality of life that you should be able to do.
Right.
And so he it's very interesting and not funny in a ha-ha way, but kind of a funny, cool ways that he talks about things like, look, when I'm 100, I want to be able to lift 30 pounds above my head. And so you ask, what does that mean? It's, well, I want to be able to travel with my great-grandkids on a plane, and I'm not going to have somebody carrying me around in a wheelchair. I got to lift my own bag that weighs 30 pounds in the overhead, right?
Yeah.
And so he has this list of four or five things that are very practical like that.
Yeah.
Keep moving. I got to be able to get up by myself with a single point of support to stand up, because if I'm on the floor playing with my great-grandkids, I don't want them to have to help me up.
Right.
So it's like simple things that kind of play into your concept.
Yeah.
That's very real and achievable.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic.
You know, most of my practice right now is dedicated towards underserved populations. Mm-hmm. So I have a donation-based practice, and I'm dedicated to that because having a brown son, he exposed me and opened me up to the great health disparities in our culture. Mm-hmm. So African Americans have twice as many chronic diseases as white people, and on twice as many medications. And to me, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So that's how my, you know, that's where my results are. That's what I dedicate my practice to. Yeah. And I get asked all the time, well, are people willing to change their lifestyle and all that? And I say, well, in 3 days, if they get the results that I'm looking for, which typically they do, then they're motivated to take the next step. So I think natural medicine, naturopathic medicine, and good food, and is a way to people to take back their power.
Yeah, you know, you bring up such an important concept, especially today for society and the discussions around healthcare. Right, it's a basic, fundamental human right is access to great healthcare. Right.
I mean, yeah.
I heard another podcast recently. Somebody said, you know, if a criminal has the right to see a lawyer, why doesn't every citizen have the right to health care and access to a doctor?
Right.
And if we can get that message around, and so your practice model is important,
yeah,
and critical to be able to make that change. So thanks for doing that. I meant to ask you a question, though. How do you end up in North Carolina?
After I went to naturopathic school, I worked with Dean Ornish.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day, way back then, you know, he wrote a seminal work on treating heart disease called, you know, how to reverse heart disease without drugs and surgery. And we had a ton of people that came to our retreats, you know, 250 at a time, and basically put them on a vegetarian diet, teach them how to relax and exercise and so forth. And 3 or 4 days, you know, they were able to, you know, make some progress in their disease. And at the time, a lot of the guys that set up the retreat were from Duke. And I went back to Duke, and I realized that Durham is a city of medicine. That's what they call it, the city of medicine. And so my goal when I graduated from medical school was to really help to revolutionize medicine so that we could begin to use the best medicine at the appropriate time, so that natural medicine and conventional medicine could be used in tandem. And so that's what I did close to 30 years ago.
Fantastic. Well, the Institute of Natural Medicine, this naturopathic community, is lucky to have you, and the influence and the impact that you have on future generations of practitioners that need to hear this. So we hope they're all be listening, or we'll tune in to this podcast with you. And it's great to see you walking around the floor and talking to practitioners in general. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for, you know, all the hard work you do and getting this important message out to the people that need to hear it.
Yeah. Great, thanks. This has been the Holistic Matters Podcast, the podcast designed to help you become the you that nature intended, broadcasting live from the 2019 American Association of Naturopathic Physicians Annual Meeting. We're with Dr. Maurice Vernis, naturopathic physician from Durham, North Carolina. Thanks very much.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevier, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.